forward from there. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Let's read the Bible together here. The Bible says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you have given us. Lord, we just now ask that you would help us and guide us, Lord, in these things. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask. Amen. This is taking place during the time of exile, or maybe right after. We believe Ezra the scribe is the author of the Chronicles, but this is taking place after Nebuchadnezzar. If you look at the last thing that happens in 2 Kings, and that's not necessarily all chronological, but you'll see that Nebuchadnezzar came and took Jerusalem and the temple and carried away those captives. Well, now we believe that either during or right after, while the Jews are returning, that this period of time, we get this lineage of the tribe of Judah, which is the godly tribe that would lead to Jesus Christ. And so after David, Judah, they kind of go back, and the chronicler gives us an understanding of who this godly line is. And so Judah begat Perez and so on and so on. And we get to verse 9, and out of all these sons of Judah and these grandsons and great-grandsons, we get down to verse 9, and we find that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And that's going to be important for us here at the end of the message today, but we see that Jabez, his name means sorrow or sorrowful. We believe that his mother, as she put here, because I bear him with sorrow, that there was great consternation and great pain and sorrow when Jabez was born, but also perhaps that Jabez was born in a time of much evil and upheaval, even amongst his brethren. If you know the story of Judah and that tribe, we know even Judah, how he began to be someone who had a lineage, and that story of just sad proportions and sin and these different things. But we look today and we see this great prayer in verse 10. Jabez is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible except for here as far as any explanation of him. Four times in the Bible, all here in the Chronicles. But this is the only explanation we get of Jabez. And all we know is that he was an honorable person, more than his brethren, and that he has a fear of the Lord God of Israel, and that he was a praying person. Amen. And we can see and take much from him today. And so a very simple message, but we're going to look at the four requests of Jabez. And I believe these four requests of Jabez should mirror our request in our prayer life. Jesus was asked by the apostles, teach us to pray. And I believe that prayer is something that we all should aim to be doing, amen. We should all aim to have a prayer life. But sometimes I think that prayer becomes something more than it should be, and I think it's less than it should be sometimes. And I think sometimes we don't know how to pray or what to say or what we should be doing. And Jabez gives us four keys here or principles, and I believe this. The first part of this that Jabez knew is that who to pray to, amen? He's praying to the Lord God of Israel, to Elohim. Literally, he's praying to the God of all the universe. And so we ought to make sure that we're praying to the right God, not to the God of finance, not to the God of the church, not to the God of family, not to the God of children, not to the God of in-laws, not to the God of parents. We've got to make sure that we're praying to the right God, that we're praying to the only God who can supply. You say, well, I would never pray to those things. Well, you may not open your mouth and physically pray, but remember the setup of prayer. Prayer is to go to someone or something greater than you who has the ability to bless. And in first prayer, you are going to them with a right or reverent spirit. And so God will not hear our prayer from heaven if we regard iniquity in our heart. And so the first thing we have to do is be clean. And so before we go to prayer, we should go and get in right relationship with God before we ask anything. And then when we do that, we worship God in our prayer. We tell God who he is, that you are worthy. I believe that you are capable and able to bless me with this. And then we praise God. We say, thank you, God, that you are God, that you are able to do these things. And then we make our requests known unto God. But we often do that to financial institutions. We say, you know what? I want to get right. Let me get my credit score together so that I can go in and worship Chase Bank because they're able, and then praise Chase because they have said that I'm qualified, and then I'm going to ask them to give me the money. Now, I'm not saying that you should never get a loan. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes we lean on the loan more than we lean on the one who is the ultimate giver of life and death. Sometimes we praise people in our lives or worship people in our lives, and we go to them and we say, hey, I want to get, you want to make sure you're in a right relationship with them. You know, it's like a setup. Before you ask somebody for something, you kind of butter them up. You want to make sure you're in the right place with them. You might worship and you might praise them because they have the ability, and then you're asking from them. But Jabez knew exactly who to go to. And that's the first part of prayer. But I want to see four things today that he requests. Again, very simple and very known scriptures to many, but a great reminder. Number one, Jabez asked that God would bless him indeed. He asked that God would bless him indeed. The word indeed, when we say yes indeedy around here in these southwestern Ohio parts, what we're saying is we're believing that it is more abundantly, that when I say it's not just yes, but it's yes indeed, it's a certain thing, it's an absolute thing. And so when he asked God to bless him, he says, God, just don't bless me indeed, bless me big, bless me abundantly, make it sure. The word blessing here and bless indeed, the phrase is what you would see as the name Barak, and so it's actually Barak in the Hebrew language, and it literally means to be blessed above measure or beyond measure. He asked to be blessed beyond measure, bigger, as the verse in the New Testament says, that to do what's exceedingly and abundantly above, right? He's asking that God would do this. It's a certain strong sense of asking blessing. For if God be the owner of blessing, should we not ask of him? You know, I believe this with all my heart. Jabez knew who to ask. He called on the God of Israel. You know, part of life in our world is just knowing who to ask. It's just knowing who to ask. I always say this, you don't have to have the answer, you just got to know where to find it. You don't have to know everything, you just got to be able to be resourceful enough to find it. You know, I think one of the greatest tools in all of mankind is the internet. We know there's good things, there's bad things about the internet. But if you know the right sources, if you can find factual sources, if you can find good information, then you can find knowledge through the internet. It is common today. I've seen people do it. I've seen our assistant pastors do it. You know, you want to know how to fix something or do something, you can go to YouTube and watch a tutorial, and it can show you. I mean, you can build an engine from scratch by watching someone on YouTube if you can follow directions. The way that I'm not a great cook, but I can follow directions. And so I'll go on Pinterest or TikTok or Instagram and see these recipes, and I can follow that recipe to a T. I got a new one for a certain kind of cake I want to make. And you can go on there and you can follow that. You can be resourceful and find the information that you need. But here's what Jabez knew. He knew that ultimately he knew who to ask. He comes from this great lineage, and Jabez is coming from this great line of men, but he's more honorable than all them. And Jabez says, I'm not going to ask my father or my grandpa. I'm going to go to the Lord God of Israel. He knew who to ask. When I was a young man, my Aunt Drita, we call her Aunt Dreet. She was young and single, my mom's younger sister. And when we would go to my grandparents' house, my aunt lived in the house on the hill. You could see it from my grandparents' house. And you could go in, and she was cool, and she had it was a brand new 92 green Pontiac Grand Am, and at that time, it was one of the first vehicles that any of my cousins or I had ever seen that had a CD player in it. You know, before that, it was tape players or 8-track when I was really young, but it actually had a CD player in it, and we thought that was everything, and it had these gold hubcaps, and they looked like spoke wheels. And up at her house, she lived by herself, and she was in her early, probably 20s, the mid-20s. She's not much older than me. And so she was cool, and she had all the cool stuff. And she had, back then it was Nintendo. She had a Nintendo. And then you go down the house, down the street, and Grandma's house. And, you know, Grandma's house was old-fashioned and didn't have all the things. She still had a record player. And, you know, all of us kids, we would want things. And we would say, Grandma, can we have this? Or, come on, can we have this? Or, Grandpa, can we have this? And they would often say, no, I don't have that, or I don't have time for that. I don't have any way to help you with that. But as we got older, we knew who to ask. We would say, you know what? Grandma's going to say no. Let's go to Aunt Dreet's house. So we'd walk up the hill, and we'd say, Aunt Dreet, we need some money for some bubble gum. And Aunt Dreet say, how much do you need? We say, my Aunt Dreet taught me how to ride a bike. I say, Aunt Dreet, I don't know how to ride a bike. Well, come on, I'll teach you how to ride your bike. She taught me how to blow a bubble. Aunt Dreet, I don't know how to blow a bubble. Here, I'll teach you how to blow a bubble. Aunt Dreet was always there for the call. She was always down to help us kids. And so we knew who to ask. Don't go ask your mom. Mom's mean. She's going to say no. Go ask Aunt Dreet. Aunt Dreet, back in the day, now I'm going to say drugstore, and the young people are going to go, what's a drugstore? But back in the day, we used to go to the sundry store or the drugstore, and we say, Aunt Dreet, I need $2 so I can go get a malt. And Aunt Dreet say, sure. She said, matter of fact, jump in the car, we'll take you. Now, you guys aren't going to get this, and you pagan dogs, you better not laugh at this. But I remember in 1992, Aunt Dreet would get in that Grand Prix, and we'd pile in the back of that thing, and the hit song at that time was, Don't Tell My Heart, My Achy Breaky Heart. And we would listen to Billy Ray Cyrus down the hill in to town, and she'd get some malt, and we would be jamming out. Or even back then, some of the popular songs, MC Hammer, You Can't Touch This. We were listening to all those things, right? And Aunt Dreet, we knew who to ask. Jabez knew who to ask. He knew that he wouldn't be refused if he asked the God of Israel, because the God of Israel has everything. He has more than a CD player in his car. He has more than the cool things in his house. He has more than a few dollars in his pocket. He has more than the ability to teach you how to ride a bike or blow a bubble. He is the God of all the universe. And if you just know who to ask, you shall receive. Number two, Jabez asked that God would enlarge his coast. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Now, we can see that as a military term, that he was trying to take over land, but that's not what Jabez was asking. He's in this land of the Canaanites. He's in this land that is full of enemies of God. Even to this day, the chosen land of God is full of enemies of God and people all around it who hate God. And he's saying, enlarge my coast, but he's essentially saying this. He's asking God to do the heavy lifting, to drive out his enemies before his face, that he won't have to do the work. It's the epitome of Jabez is asking God to take care of it so that he can work smarter, not harder. People have fought wars and continue to go to war and war and war and fight and fight and fight, and no one has got any inroads on Israel to this day. It's just a perpetual land of warfare, but nobody has come. Even though we know it's God's chosen land, even though we know God gave it back to the Israelites in this certain time in the 40s, still and yet there is no rest there, because the truth of the word of God is people are trying to fight and fight and fight for it. And Jabez just said, get rid of my enemies. And someday, I don't know that it's prophetical what Jabez said, but in the line of Judah, I do believe that someday, that even if it wasn't done completely in Jabez's day, which it certainly wasn't completely, I do know that God's going to enlarge his coast, and that all of Israel shall be saved, and all the land shall be Jabez's family, Judah, through the line that Jesus Christ comes from. Ask God to get rid of your problems, friends. When's the last time you prayed to God and you asked him to get rid of your problems? When we try to solve the problem, we actually end up causing more problems most of the time. I think that sometimes what we neglect in prayer is we ask God for help, we ask God for things, but we don't go to God directly and say, God, I need you to deal with this. I need you to enlarge my coast. Go before me into my enemies and just get rid of them. Go before me into this problem and just get rid of it. One of the greatest things and pieces of advice that was ever given to me from one of my pastor friends was, just ask God to deal with things and then you won't have to. Because as the pastor, sometimes hard things come and you try to deal with it, and you can get in your flesh or you can get angry. And a lot of times I just go to God and I say, God, I need you to take care of this. Enlarge my coast. Go before me and deal with the enemies. And Most of the time in my pastoral experience, I've not had to deal with it at all. God supernaturally deals with it. And I don't even know. It's like those people just go away on their own, or this situation solved on its own, or something happens. It has happened so many times in my life that it's incredible to me to think that when you ask God to enlarge your coast, it's just done. Stop trying to do the heavy lifting, my friends, and allow God to enlarge your coast. Stop trying to enlarge your own coast. Stop trying to do it on your own power and your own strength, and allow God to be God. One of my major prayers that I ask God just about every day is, God, I just want you to be God. And remind me that I'm not. I just want you to do what you do and keep me out of your way. People will say, Pastor, how's the church going? And I'll say to them, it's going well as long as I stay out of the way. And that's the truth. We used to go to the YMCA and shoot ball, and back in the 90s and early 2000s, the YMCA had two vending machines. They had one of those vending machines that circles, that has sandwiches and all the, you know, yogurt and all those things that's refrigerated that circles around. And then they had one that had the drinks in it. You know, they had the Gatorade and this, and at the bottom, the snacks. And no matter what you did, the drinks were heavy enough, they would fall to the bottom, but all the snacks would generally get snagged up and caught up. And that old vending machine, I mean, it was one of those old, like really early vending machines, you know, where you had to push the thing like this, and not buttons and fancy cards. Like, you had to have crisp dollars or change at that time. And I can remember getting in there, and your bag of Cheetos or Skittles would get stuck on the edge. And, you know, it would say, it had a sign because it had happened so many times, please do not tip or shake the machine, right? It would always say that. And so it'd be hanging there right by a thread. And of course, teenage boys paid no attention to the sign. And here we are tilting the machine back and forth and making a loud noise out in the lobby. Dum, 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 dum. And the lady from the front desk would say, young men, boys, stop that, stop that. I've got the key. I can open it up. And we'd say, okay. And she'd just open it up and grab it right out of there. But it never failed, because we were just dumb teenage boys that we would go back every single time it got stuck. Doom, 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 doom. We're doing the heavy lifting. But all along, the lady with the key was sitting at the front desk willing to come and unlock it. Sometimes as Christians, we're trying to do the heavy lifting. We're lifting the vending machine up and down. But the Father God of heaven has the key. Just go to him and ask him to unlock it. Jabez knew who could enlarge his coast. Number three, God's, he prays here. He says, and that thine hand might be with me. He asked that God's power or God's hand would be with him. What he's asking is for the power and presence of the Almighty God to be in his life. Now, sometimes I think we take for granted when we're saved that the power and presence of God is in our life every day. Understand this. Yes, there is the indwelled Holy Spirit, and so the power of God is in us. But are you asking for God to help you to thrive in that and to see that power and presence every day? Are you asking for God to direct your paths, as the proverb says? Are you asking for God to show his power? And then when he does show his power, are you allowing his power to work in your life? The power of God will fiercely protect you, fiercely provide for you, and fiercely multiply blessings for you. It is the providence of God, we call it, this supernatural force that surrounds your life. And I believe this with all my heart. We need to pray that God, as Jabez did, that God's hand would be with me. We need to pray that God's hand would be with us. That is power, that he would show up. You know what? One of the greatest things that happens in a church service, and it doesn't happen every church service. Now listen to what I'm saying. When we're saved, we bring the Holy Spirit in with us, and I believe God is here. We ask God to be here. But there's some services where God really shows up. There's some services where it's like it was great and it worked and everything, but then there's some services where it's just, there's some Sundays where God just shows up and you just, like, I don't want it to sound emotion driven, but spiritual driven, but the only way I can describe it to fleshly people is when you just really feel the power of God and the presence of God in your life. It just shows up. There's something about that. And I think about that, and I think about in a bee colony, there's something we know of called the queen bee. And the queen bee, during the spring, is able to have 1,500 babies a day. Wow. And the queen bee is actually the person, she is the being that is able to determine the sex of each of those. She determines whether it be a male or a female baby bee. And the queen bee dominates that place, but she doesn't dominate it by might or by force, even though she is larger than the rest of the bees and has a special mark upon her. She doesn't dominate it that way. She dominates it because she is the life giver. She is the one who continuously keeps the colony going. She's so important that every colony has a dwarf queen or dwarf queens, so that if the queen bee should suddenly die, there's another one that can quickly replace her and be put on the throne, because she's that valuable and she's that necessary as the life giver. And because she's the life giver, because she is the most valuable bee in all of the hive, they fiercely work and protect her and love her, but they love her because of her goodness, because of the life that she brings, because of the power. Without the presence and the power of the queen bee, the rest of the bees in the colony would die. And I think about God, and He is the life giver and the sustainer. He's the power and He's the presence. And without His power and without His presence, we will surely die. We would surely be nothing without Him. And you know what God did for us? God can't die like the queen bee, and so He doesn't have to have little dwarf queens here or there. But what God did is He said, I'm going to send my Son to die for you, and when He dies for you, I'm going to send the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and He's going to fill you up. And so now my presence and my power are available to you all the time, but yet in that power, watch this, the only reason Jabez is praying, and it's a different time and a different way, but the only reason that you and I can pray to God and can get into the presence of God and have the power of God is because Jesus died to pay for our sins and now is the intercessor, and He indwelled us with His Spirit, who is the interpreter, and now we have the ability to be in the presence and the power of God. Jabez prayed that God's hand would be with them. I ask you today, friend, do you pray that God's power and presence would show up daily in your life, in every aspect of your life? I mean, this is so important that we ask that God's providence would be over us, and we work fiercely and love God and want to protect the things of God because He loves us so much, because He's the provider and the protector. But listen, I want you to remember this with all your heart and soul. Get into your prayer life and ask God not to just be provider and protector, but ask Him to be the projector, that He would be larger in your life. And that He would be larger in your life to where He can be larger to everyone else around you. Because see, the queen bee is so large that every bee around them knows exactly who the queen is. They don't go out of their hive and go into the world and say, we're looking for another queen. No, they fiercely protect and go back, and they project what the protector and the provider does for them to all the others. And they bring in other bees and they say, that be our queen. And they come in and say, even if they're not born of the familial line, they can be adopted in into this hive as long as they'll recognize that that's the queen. You and I can be adopted into the familial line of Jesus Christ as long as we'll say that He is the King. But then he prays this prayer. He says, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. That you would keep me from evil. I don't know about you, but I got to pray this every day. It's essentially this. He's not asking, take it this way. He's not asking that God would protect him from the evil of the world. He's asking God to help him to be good. He's asking God to help him not be evil. I think sometimes we pray and ask God to keep me away from evil people, and we're like that New Testament parable, Lord, help me not to be like these other people. But Jabez doesn't pray that. Jabez says, help me not to be evil. Help me not to be wrong. Help me to be righteous before a holy God. Evil, friend, The reason why Jabez prays this is why we should all pray this, because we're attracted to evil. We're attracted to evil. Let's just be honest with ourselves today. Evil and evil things are sometimes easier. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, you may not be attracted to the evils of the world, but the evils of your mind are enough. The things we think are evil enough. The things in our heart sometimes are evil enough. And sometimes the evil things seem more lovely. We're more attracted to those things. Sometimes it's just easier to be bad than it is to be good. Now, you call them fables or old wives' tales, but I call them lies. Wow. And we're attracted to them. Think about it. We're attracted to them. We tell our children lies. We tell them stories that are absolute lies. And you say, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just fiction. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, you tell your little girl long enough that she's a princess, and when she grows up and finds out she's not a princess, then she's going to, and when she doesn't get treated like a princess, when the man she marries doesn't treat her this way, when he won't cook, he won't clean, he won't help out, and she thinks that everything is going to end happily ever after, well, no wonder she's divorced and had a hard time and had 3 and 4 different men, because her whole life you've set her up to be a princess and it's just a lie. But if you set her up to be saved and tell her that you're supposed to be living this way and that God values you more highly, not because of Prince Charming, but because Jesus Christ says you're valuable, then you're telling them the truth. And then their life is not sitting upon a throne of lies, but their life is sitting upon a bed of truth called the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on now. I know you're like, Pastor, you can't say that Cinderella's a lie. Yes, it is. I don't have no fairy godmother. Ain't nobody picking women over trying to find some lost slipper. Hear what I'm saying to you. I'm not saying this, like, go out and never let your kids watch a show. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you better balance it with the truth of the Word of God. And you better let them know what real truth is and what fiction is, because if not, we're attracted to evil. And what I'm saying is, those evils, why I say that's evil is because that's picking up an evil lifestyle. That's picking up things that aren't reality, that aren't true. And so when you do that, it's a lie. And when you build your life upon those things, upon these lies, then that's what your expectation is. And so Jabez is saying, remember his line. Remember what's going on. He's like, he was the most honorable of all of his brethren. So he knows what evil looks like. And he didn't say, I don't want to be like my brothers. He just says, help me keep me from evil. Help me. He's been around the liars. He's been around the thugs. He's like, help me, because you know what the truth of it is? Jabez is like, I'm attracted to it. I want to be like them, but help me to be righteous before you. Help me not do that. Sometimes it's easier to be bad. I heard this the other day. I thought it was kind of funny. It's not funny, but it's kind of funny to me, because sometimes I'm like this. Sometimes I'm attracted to this. You go through the line at Kroger or Walmart, and the line is backed up, and you can't get through it, and there's nobody there to help, and there's only one line open, and everything else is self-scanning. You're backed up there, and I heard somebody say, well, I don't know why everybody's so mad about it. Just go through the self-scan and wink, wink, pay for your stuff. And so they were implying that you just walk through there and steal it. They're like, nobody's going to chase you. Nobody's going to do that. Now, hear what I'm saying. I've never done that, but sometimes that's tempting when you're in a hurry. Sometimes you're like, you're backed up, you can't get help, you're trying, the light's flashing because somebody's messed up the scanner here, and this light's flashing, there's only 2 lights left, and you're standing there, you're in a hurry, you really got to go, and sometimes you got like 2 things, you're like, how much is Kroger really going to miss something that's cost $5 if I just walked out of the store right now? Nobody's going to chase me, because I haven't got enough help to run the registers. There's surely not anybody here that's going to try to stop me. And listen, maybe you've never had that thought, but I'll be honest with you, I have. I've never done it, but I've had that thought to myself, like, I wonder what would happen if I would just go. What would happen? You ever walk through the door and you paid for your stuff and the things go off? Beep, beep, beep. And you're like, oh, no. And you're like, wasn't me. Who was it? And even when you're innocent, you feel guilty and everybody's looking at you. And you're like, well, I wonder to myself, well, I've been through that before when I did pay for it. What's the big deal if I walk out and I didn't pay for it? And then I look around and sometimes I sit there and I think, and I look at the young lady or the guy that's working in the line, and I think to myself, I can outrun them. If I got out there, they can't catch me. I'll be in my truck. I'll be gone by the time they get to my car. You know, I think it's funny, but he really says, help me not to be evil. You know what evil is? Jesus taught us to pray to deliver us from evil. There's some real evils in the world, aren't there? There are three young children in a communist country. It's a true story. A missionary was there, and they were in a kind of a camp for people who had disobeyed the law in that communist country. And the three young boys had no tongues, could not speak. The missionary asked them, the guard, what evil have these three young boys done that this harm came upon them? And the guard told the missionary, can you recite the Lord's Prayer? The missionary said, yes. And right when he got to the part and says, deliver us from evil, the guard stopped him and said, that's what they did that was evil, because there is no evil in this country. Because that's how a communist wants you to believe. That's all good. So their tongues were cut out of their bodies because they were reciting the Lord's Prayer and said, deliver us from evil. And in the communist country, that was to say that we're living in some evil. And they say, no, this is a utopia. This is perfect. There's nothing wrong here. And so there's these evils of the world. But I bring that to you to say that Satan thrives in the midst of our world's evil. But he also thrives in the midst of our evil. When we have evil thoughts, when we have evil actions, he tries to inflame that. He throws gasoline on the proverbial fire. Deliverance, my friend, and this is why Jabez prays. He prays, keep me from evil or deliver me from evil. But I want you to remember this, that salvation, our salvation, the pinnacle of our salvation is the deliverance from evil. When we get saved, we are now able to be delivered from evil and from the evil one. Jesus says, and keep me from the evil one. Pray to God that he would keep you from evil, your own evil. Pray to God that he would keep you from the evils of the world. Pray to God that he would keep you from the evil one. But I want you to go back to that beginning verse in verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Before Jabez ever prays, we realize that Jabez is righteous before God, that he's honorable. Now I want you to get this. He's more honorable than his brethren. It doesn't mean that he's perfect. It just means he's righteous before God. And you and I, before we pray, need to make sure that we're righteous before God. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Many Christians have it in their mind that my prayer is just going to avail and cause many blessings. But the Bible says, no, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. What is righteousness? It means to be in right standing with God. You can be a Christian and be justified with God and still not be in right standing with God. Heavenly, you're in right standing with God, and you cannot lose that because it's just as if I never sinned. But while we are earthbound, there is a time and place where we must confess our sins, and then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Because we're still earthbound and we still have unrighteousness in us. And so before we pray, we need to make sure that we are righteous before a holy God. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about these scissors. I call them safety scissors. They give them to little kids, and they're not super sharp. And, you know, I can cut on my finger a little bit. And I wish I had some hair. I'd cut a piece of hair. Several little kids in our church, they've taken these things at their house and cut their hair. You know, they've done it. And you know, what I think about righteousness is, righteousness in the hands of a saved person is different than righteousness. Let me say it this way. Righteousness in the hand of a saved person who's in right standing with God, and righteousness in the hands of a saved person who's not right with God, are two different things. If you give these to a little kid, they might trim someone's hair. They might trim their own hair. If you give this to a little kid, they may cut something that's not supposed to be cut. You give this to a little kid, they may cut their pants. They may cut their friend. They may poke somebody with it. They may do something that's very unrighteous with this. But you put this in the hands of the right person. You put this in the hand of an older child, or you put this in the hands of a teacher, and they can craft something beautiful. with this. And we put them in Sunday school and these little scissors with the older kids, and they can cut out hearts that say, I love you, Mom. Or they can cut out little Bible characters that get hung up on the walls. Or they can cut out pictures that they can take home and put on the refrigerator. But you put these in the nursery and someone may lose an eye. But you know, God says this, when you read through this and you understand Jabez, you know what all of Jabez's prayer ultimately comes down to when it talks about this evil? It says, God, help me cut out what doesn't belong. Make the tool in my hand, the tool of prayer, make it a righteous action. Make it a righteous work. Make it righteous that my prayer hits the mark, that it cuts what needs to be cut, that my prayer is not, remember this, you can pray wrongly because the Bible says sometimes you the things you ask for, you ask amiss. We act as if prayer is always done correctly, but the Bible says prayer can be done wrongly. Because what happened there is the tool in the hands of a saved person who's not right with God, they're asking amiss and they're in evil. And because of that, watch this, not only does the evil befall you, but it can befall others around you. Put these in the hands of somebody who's not worthy of these, and they might hurt themselves, but they might hurt somebody else. You put them in the hands of someone who knows how to wield it, it can be a blessing to many. It's very important today, as we look at Jabez and his prayer, and we talk about prayer today, ask the Lord, ask him, not just to bless you, but to bless you indeed. Lord, bless me continuously, big, make it sure. Ask the Lord to enlarge your coast, not to make you bigger, not to magnify you, but to clear out your enemies, because the less enemies that you have in your path, the better able you'll be able to serve God and glorify God, because there'll be less people there to try to detract you from the work of God. Go to the Lord God and ask him, help me, Lord. I'm going to need your help in all these things. I'm going to need you to help me, Lord, to guide me, to show me. And so I'm going to need your power to show up. Ask that his hand be upon you. I'm going to need your power and your presence to show up, Lord. It doesn't mean I need a visible sign, but there will be some visible things that happen when the power and presence of God are in your life on a daily basis. Ask for God to show up. Ask for God to show up. Hey, listen, before every service, I ask God to show up. I just ask him, God, show up mightily in this service. And sometimes I won't know if he did because he's working in somebody's heart, but then sometimes after service or sometimes in between, I'll see somebody's actions changed, or somebody will say to me, or I'll hear somebody's asked forgiveness of somebody else, and I say, God, thank you, you showed up. And then ask God to deliver you or keep you from evil. Keep you from evil. Start with you. Start with you. Get yourself righteous so that you can use the tools correctly, so that those tools will be a blessing to you and others. And ask God to keep you from evil, from keeping you away from people who are going to use the tools unrighteously so that they don't hurt you, or so that they don't get you to fall along in hurting others. The prayer of Jabez, a very famous prayer, very short verses, not much known about him. It gives us great keys and understanding of prayer and principles that we can use in our daily lives so that we can pray with impact and we can see God showing up in our lives. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father.